who have come and joined us for tonight, so let's learn a little bit. We've entitled this The Truth About Jonah for a reason. The story of Jonah is very simple. The story is very simple. We're all familiar with it. Jonah is commissioned to go to the city of Nineveh to encourage the Toshvei Nineveh to do tshuva. And Jonah, the Navi, refuses, argues with God, and says he's not going. He then boards a ship. The ship is going to sink. The sailors eventually throw him off. He's swallowed by a fish. He comes out again, and now he comes and he speaks to Nineveh to do tshuva, but he's very unhappy about it. Sits under a kikayon tree, and the tree disappears. Jonah almost dies. HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses that very strange metaphor of the kikayon to give Jonah Musar, and that's the end of the story of Jonah. I don't want to talk about the story so much, but a number of questions I want to ask, which perhaps will try to flesh out what the tension was between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Jonah HaNovi. Jonah, who essentially took on the Ribbono Shel Olam and argued with him. He was an angry Navi. And I want to somehow get to what this tension was between Jonah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What was the underlying conflict? So first of all, number one on the sheet is why is Jonah chosen for Yom Kippur Mincha as the Haftorah? Chazal were very deliberate. The Gemara at the end of Masechta Megillah, where the Mishnah there discusses all of the Yom Tovim, and says, "B'Yom HaKippurim," what do we read? Ki kol ha'arayos, right? U'b'mincha, the last line, u'b'mincha korin ba'arayos, u'maftirim b'yom. A mincha on Yom Kippur, we lay the arayos, all of the forbidden sexual relationships in human relations, and we read the Haftarah of Jonah. So why? Why? Chazal were very deliberate. Why did they choose these particular areas for the Kriya and the Haftarah? Message of Tshuva, many other moments of Tshuva in Tanakh besides the story of Jonah. So if you look at number six, I apologize, the order, we might not be necessarily going directly in the order, but we'll skip around, but it's all in front of us. Number six, the Ber Heitiv, one of the Nosei Kelim in the Shulchan Aruch, gives two reasons why Jonah is read. Lefi sheyesh bo koach ha-tshuva. The koach ha-tshuva. The power of tshuva. V'she'ein yechon livrach me'Hashem yisbarach. And you can't run away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So what is the... You just have to understand what the Ber Heitiv means when he says the Koach HaTshuva. It's a story about tshuva. It's a story about attempting to bring Nineveh to tshuva, and in fact he does bring Nineveh to tshuva, not that he wants to recognize it, but it's a story of tshuva. What does he mean by the Koach HaTshuva? What is this emphasis? What is this Koach HaTshuva? We have to understand, we have to get a handle on that, right? And then the elaining. You look on in number three, why we lay in the arayas? Why do we lay in the arayas? So Rashi says, Shemi sheyesh averis biyadu yifrash mehen, lefi sheharayas averim mitzuyam. It's out there. It's up front. We bristle when we think about arayas. Shenafsho shaladam, right? We bristle, right? These forbidden relationships, right? And then that's Rashi. Taisvis in number four. Taisus number five. The Medrash Yesh Shilakach Korim Be'arayas Lefishi Yisrael Osin Remes LaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's actually a metaphor for our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Arayas bespeaks an unfaithful relationship with one's significant other. So we have to confront our unfaithfulness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yom Kippur in general, and particularly as the Yom Kippur ebbs away at Mincha. So then if you look at number four is the tour, and The Torah says, why do we lay in the arayas? He says, Koring barayas, Shemi, he says, is that the Torah? Was it the number four? Yes. Motzin sefer Torah v'koren bo gimel, we call three people up, a parsha arayas, ad sof haparsha. Now, where did that come from? I mean, the Chazal were very specific. Morris says, Chazal tell us that we lay in the parsha of arayas. Why does the Torah have to add ad sof haparsha? What is significant about ad sof haparsha? There's a whole litany of arayas, of forbidden relationships that we're familiar with, that we lay in Shabbos Mincha, Yom Kippur Mincha. But what's this ad sof haparsha? You look at number two, what's sof haparsha? Right at the end of number two, you see, Ki kol asher yasa mikol ha-toevot ha-eile v'nichretu ha-nefashot ha-osot. Right? It's about tshuva mi-yira. That's what it is. Whoever shall do any of these abominations, his souls shall be cut off from among the people. Right? It's putting the fear of the Lord in front of them. Right? That the parsha of arayot is not simply the listing, the litany of averot, of the forbidden relations, but it's ad sof haparsha, insists the Torah, that somehow we have to understand why this is important, why the Torah has to add this. The Gemara doesn't say it. But ad sof haparsha is tshuva mi'ira. Tshuva mi'ira is not such a great thing to do tshuva because we're afraid of punishment, we're afraid of chorus, we're afraid of excision, we're afraid of not getting to olam haba. That's not such a good thing, but that seems to be what the Torah is saying, and we have to understand why the Torah adds ad sof haparsha. Another simple question. Why don't we lay vayachal? Why are we laying vayachal? On every tinus, on every fast day, we lay vayachal. And one would think that vayachal would be the parsha for laying on Yom Kippur. After all, vayachal contains the Yud Gimel Midos, which we repeat tens of times on Yom Kippur. Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum, Lechanum, right? We repeat it tens of times. That's the source, is in Vayechal, V'halo Davar. Why don't we lay Vayechal on Yom Kippur at Mincha? Why the Parsha of Arayas? I'll tell you, there's another reason we should lay Vayechal. If we want to attach it to Yonah, there's a pasuk in Vayechal which is mirrored by the Navi in Yonah, right? Vayinachem, right? Vayinachem Hashem al Ninve Asher. It's the same pasuk that we have. Same pasuk that we have in Vayinachem Hashem al Hara Asher Liber Laasot Laamo. You have that in Vayechal. You have that in Yonah. So very strange. We have to understand why, and then we have to ask ourselves, what's the nexus between the laning and the Haftorah? Usually there's a connectedness between the Kriya, between the Torah reading, and between the Haftorah. What's the connection? So you can say it's about Shuvah. Okay, that's an easy answer, right? But there has to be something deeper here, because there are many, as we pointed out, there are many parshiyot of Shuvah in Tanakh that we can read. And the Kriya also, we have the Tzavim, Vayelech, what we're going to read this week. And you know, why Dafka, right? In fact, the whole institution of Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Kippur at Mincha is a big question mark. No less a personage than Rabbi Akiva Eger in his Tshuvas in Siman Chof Dalet deals with this. He was asked a question, this is not on the sheet, but I just want to mention this, that Rabbi Akiva Eger was asked, a Shaila, there was a Jew, a Chole, and they made a minyan for him in his house. And he was not, the doctors told him he cannot fast on Yom Kippur. His mitzvah of the day was eating, not fasting. So there was a shayla, should we give him an aliyah or not? So they asked Rabbi Akiva Eger. So Rabbi Akiva Eger said, in the morning, the laning for sure, the kriyat of Torah in the morning is kedushat hayom. It's not dealing with the times. It's not dealing with the fast. So in the morning, you can give him an aliyah. But at mincha, can we give him an aliyah at mincha? He wasn't sure. And he concluded, it was a very short tshuva, and he concluded, b'tzorachiyu. So even Rabbi Akiva Eger was uncertain about the nature of the Kriyat HaTorah, about the laning on Yom Kippur at Mincha. Now, let's go a little bit into Yonah and ask some more questions. And why does Yonah refuse to go? What motivates Yonah not to go? So if you look at number 8, we'll come back to 7, but look at number 8 on the sheet. And number 8 on the sheet is a Medrash Tanchuma. It's also Yerushalmi and Pesachim, some of it. And the Medrash gives two reasons why Yonah refuses to go. Number one, Miyad, he says, listen, if I go, Hagoyim Miyad Yasu Tshuva. So the people, these non-Jews in Nineveh, they're going to do Tshuva right away. Israel. It's an indictment on Klal Yisrael. The Goyim are going to do Tshuva, the non-Jews are going to do Tshuva, but the Jews are not going to do Tshuva. And then he goes on to say that they will call him a Navi Sheker. They'll call him a false prophet. Because Yonah predicted destruction. Ma'apecha. He predicted that this Nineveh is going to be destroyed. And yet Nineveh was not destroyed. So they'll call me a false prophet. So why should I go? Right? They did tshuva on their own, in spite of Yonah's threat. They did tshuva. So the Abarvanel says, you know, he doesn't like. If you look at number 9, you see the Abarvanel. He doesn't like. He dismisses Yonah's two titles. Number one, there's taina that it's an indictment on Klal Yisrael. They're not going to do tshuva. Number two, that they'll call him a false prophet. And the Abarvanel says here in number 9, if you look at it, basically what he says, maybe Klal Yisrael will do tshuva. Why do you assume Klal Yisrael won't do tshuva? Maybe the Jewish people will do tshuva. They will respond and they will do tshuva. Secondly, he says, maybe the Anshei Nineveh will give Yonah credit for the tshuva that in fact they did through his musar. Maybe it was such a powerful baldarshan that they did tshuva because of him. And more than that, he says, why does he care? Yonah's history. He's not a citizen of Nineveh. He's going to pack out. He'll be history tomorrow. So what does he care what they're going to think? He's a Navi Sheker. He's not a Navi Sheker. So we have to understand what would Yonah respond to the two tainas of Abarvanel. I mean, if Abarvanel could ask the kashas, if he could ask the questions, Yonah definitely thought of these questions. So what was Yonah's response? What would Yonah's response be to these two ha'oras of the Abarvanel on Yonah's tainus, right? But again, more to the point, what was his position? What was this tension between Yonah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What was bothering Yonah? What couldn't he handle? Let's go back to 7 for a moment. And 7, further trouble. Yonah sees the decency of these non-Jews. He sees the decency of the sailors. You see this medrash, a well-known medrash, the sailors, the ship is sinking. First they throw all of the material things on the ship, they throw into the sea. Doesn't matter. So they figure this, Yonah, who are you? Ivri Anochi. I'm an Ivri. They take this stranger and they're going to throw him over. He's the cause of all of this, the fact that they're going to die. So they take Yonah. What do they do? They take him overboard, and they put him over into the water. And what do? They put him in, right? How far? Up to his ankles. And the water is assuaged. Stops. They bring him back. They don't want to kill him. And the water starts again. They put him in again. Atiburo. Until his middle, until his stomach. The water stops. They bring him back. They put him in up to his neck. The water stops. Then the water starts again. Finally, with great difficulty, they throw him into the water, and of course the water's gone. But Yonah saw the midos of the sailors. He saw that these were decent people. Why did he want to help them? Why, in the end, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted their tshuva, why didn't Yonah accept the tshuva of Nineveh when he saw the decency here of these sailors? In fact, Yonah identifies with Avraham Avinu, as we pointed out. He tells them, Ivri Anochi. And in fact, there's an obvious, a wonderful similarity that is pointed out here in 10, 11, and 12. In 11 and 12, particularly 11 and 12, between Nineveh, the experience of Nineveh, and the experience of Avraham Avinu, Avraham, Ivri Anochi, he says, he identifies with Avraham Avinu. So Yonah says in 10, Vayachel Yonah lavo vayir, Mahalach Yonah Chad, he goes into the city, he's coming back now, and he tells them in 40 days, 40 days, the city is going to be destroyed, will be overturned. But what does he say? V'ninveh ne'pachat. Ninveh ne'pachas. It's going to be ma'pechas Ninveh. Say the Meforshim, I just brought two, the Radak and the Mitzudas. What does the Radak say? Korev yomar orar boim yon v'ninveh ne'pachas v'tzano lomar ki ma'pachas don v'amor. What is it? Remember these words from Chumash, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Ki ma'apachas Sodom v'Amorah. Exactly. Ki ma'aseha hayu ki ma'aseihem. Sodom v'Amorah, Ninveh, was a parallel to Sodom. Vayikru tzom, right, Kodem Azoras HaMelech, Asu tshuva, the king decreed they should fast, but even before that, they did tshuva, they put on sakim, they put on sackcloth. And in the Mitzudas, he says, "Tiyah Ninveh na'pachas, but Tzara Lomar, ki ma'pachat Sodom v'Amora miyesh la'ayin." So here you have an amazing thing. You have an amazing thing. He identifies with himself as Avraham Avinu. Ivri Anochi. I'm from Avraham Avinu. Right? And he comes to Sodom, and yet, unlike Sodom, the king institutes a program of tshuva. They do tshuva even before the king institutes it. And in the end, Yonah is not satisfied with their tshuva. So here, with his obvious identification with Avraham Avinu, the man, he refuses to identify with Avraham Avinu, the message. He identifies with Avraham Avinu, Ivrei Anochi, but he refuses to identify with Avraham Avinu, with Avraham who pleads for the tshuva of Sodom. And here, there is tshuva in Ninveh, yet he rejects the tshuva. And this is the next point, in number 13, this is really a mystifying point here. Really, something very special. You see here now, he comes back, and he speaks to them about doing tshuva. And what happens? Vayara Elokim et ma'aseim, God sees their deeds. They repented. They did tshuva. Shavu midarkam hara. And the Lord relented concerning the evil that he had spoken, and he did not do it. Right? Kodesh Baruch Hu. Next pasuk, over the page. Vayera El Yonah, Ra Gedol. Yonah was displeased, it's translated here, but Vayera, he was upset. And he was grieved. Ra Gedola. Vayicharla. He was angry. He was grieved. He was angry. Why did you forgive them? Hashem Vayomer and he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does he say to him? Ana Hashem, halo zeh dvari ad yosi al admasi. Listen, this is what I came for. I hasten. I want to get out of here. Livrok Tarshisha. Ki yadati, I know. Ki yadati, you know why I want to leave? Yeah, I'll tell you why I want to leave. Ki ata el chanun v'rachum erech hapayim v'rav chesed v'nicham al harach. I want to leave. He throws Yonah the Yud Gimel Midos in the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he says, I want out of here. I want nothing to do with this. Because you are Kael, Rachum, V'chanun, V'erech HaPayim, V'nichum Ala, I want out of here. Because you are Kael, Rachum, V'chanun. What's going on here? What's he saying? He wants to leave because HaKadosh Baruch Hu represents these Midos. This is who Kavi Yochel is. Right? Because you're Kael Rachum V'chanun. I have no part of this. As if to say, you are Kael Rachum. I can't stop you. This is what you want to do. I don't want any part of this. We have to understand what's going on here. Finally, the Kikayon. Number 15 is the Kikayon. We'll come back to 14 in a minute. The story of the Kikayon is very strange and an enigmatic ending where Yonah sits under a tree. In fact, the Malbim points out, Vayoshev. By Yoshev, he came to sit under the tree. He was waiting for something to happen. He knew that this couldn't hold. The tshuva couldn't hold. This tshuva is not going to hold. They're not going to do tshuva. They're not going to be good. They're not going to change. And he was just sitting there and waiting for the bell to drop. Right? Well, so here we have the story. This quick, sudden relief for Yonah. The Kikayon comes. And as quickly as the Kikayon comes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu via a tolas takes away the Kikayon. Yonah almost dies, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, this is a kind of a Musar discussion. Well, you're sorry for this kikayon, you enjoyed it. Why aren't you sorry for these tens and hundreds of thousands of people who wanted to do tshuva there? You weren't sorry, end of story. Right? Then something very strange. Question. The Gemara says, we lay Yonah. Why did Chazal add these psukim from the Navi Micha, who was the very next Navi of Yonah? But why add these psukim from Micha? What was wrong with what the Gemara says? Chacham said, it's a Gemara, it's a Mishnah. We're told what to lay, we're told what to say for the Haftorah, so along comes Chazal, and they add these psukim, these two, three psukim from Micha. Why was this? They changed the ending. Why did they change the ending? Okay, let's go to 16, and we'll begin to find some direction here in where we're going. 16 is in the 10th parak of Hilchos Tshuva, in the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. Now there's a minhag kadumim that during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva there are 10 prakim to Hilchos Tshuva, to the laws of forgiveness, and there's a minhag that goes way back that Jews learn every day of Aseres Yemei Tshuva one perek of Hilchos Tshuva each day of the Aseret Yemei HaTshuva. And the last perek, the perek of Yom Kippur, is the last perek, and I want to look at three halachas in this last perek, and perhaps from these three halachas we will come to a resolution of the questions we've asked and what's going on here, what the tension is between Yonah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here the Rambam discusses, ultimately he leads up to a discussion of the mitzvah of Ahavat Hashem, of loving God, the mitzvah of love. But and how we do mitzvahs, how we're supposed to act as Jews. So first in Halacha Aleph, there's a build-up here. He extols here, first of all, Al Yomar Adam, a person shouldn't say, Hareini osa mitzvot ha-Torah v'osek b'chochmata kedei shekabel kol ha-brachot ha-ktuvot bo. I shouldn't do mitzvahs because I'm going to get schar. That's not, obviously we know that's not good, right? Kedei she'eske l'chai olam haba, that I should earn reward in the eternal world. Ve'efrosh min ha-averot, she'izhira ha-Torah me'en kedei she'natzel min ha-klalot, o kedei she'lo ekareit mi'chai olam. That's tshuva mi'yira. This is tshuva mi'yira. Doing tshuva, repentance from fear, right? Ein roi la'avod et Hashem al derech hazeh. This is not the proper path that a Jew has to take. Sheha'oved al derech zeh. If someone serves God from tshuva mi'yira, who oved mi'yira, he's functioning out of fear. Ve'eino ma'alat, now listen carefully to this phrase, Einu ma'alat ha'nevi'im, v'lo ma'alat ha'chachamim. Where does the Rambam get that phrase? He doesn't use it anywhere else, as far as I know. Didn't do a Google search. I didn't do a search in my Otzer HaChochma or Bar Ilan, but I don't think the Rambam uses this phrase in the Mishnah Torah. It's not Ma'alat HaNaviim and Ma'alat HaChachamim. What is it? But it's not Ma'alat HaChachamim. It's not what prophets do, and it's not what rabbis do. It's not what Chachamim do, and it's not what prophets do. So what? Who does it? Right? It's not Yira. Yira is not the way to go. Not the way to go. What is the way to go? Halacha Beis. Oved me'ava. If someone serves God through love, Osek ba'Torah u'b'mitzvot, v'holeik b'nitidivachama, he does Torah, he does Chochma, lo mitnei davar ba'olam, not because of any ulterior motive, v'lo mitnei yirat hara, not because he's afraid of punishment, v'lo kedei lirash hatova, and not to inherit the good life, the good world, in the olam ha'emet, in the world to come, ela ose ha'emet, mitnei shu emet. He does emes because it's emes, the truth, and nothing but the truth. V'sof ha'tova lavo biglala, and then the good will come. That's tshuva me'ava, from love. U'mal zehi mal gedolim, this is a great thing. This is what Avraham Avinu did. God called him Avo, his beloved. He only worked ele me'ava. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, va'afta es Hashem Elokecha. Right? Incidentally, by this is a discussion of the mitzvah of, these are the laws of tshuva. Right? So it's interesting that in the laws of tshuva, of saying I'm sorry, God tells us this great mitzvah of saying I'm sorry, right, is the mitzvah to love God. There's a very big machlokas here between the Rambam and Eric Siegel. Do you know what I'm talking about? If you remember, maybe I'm dating myself.
Love story.
But that love story, that famous statement of Eric Siegel, love means never having to say, I'm sorry. Comes along the Rambam and says, baloney. Might be good for Hollywood, but it's not Emes. Love means you have to say you're sorry, Araya. The whole concept of Avas Hashem is fleshed out by the Rambam. At the end, is the climax of his discussion of Hilchos Tshuva, of saying I'm sorry, the laws of forgiveness. Beautiful presentation here. The first Yira, this is not the way of the Chachamim, it's not the way of the rabbis, it's not the way of the prophets. Whose way is it? We'll find out in a minute. But this is the way to do it. You have to do mitzvahs because you love God. I'm doing it for love, because I'm doing the emes, because it's emes, and that's the truth, and the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Then the final, here's the climax of the Rambam statement. Listen to this. Now listen carefully, please. Kol ha'osek b'Torah k'dei l'kabel schar, o k'dei sh'lo tagi l'afuranut. Whoever does Torah, like I said, for reward, and that you won't be punished, nothing bad, harizah osek sh'lo lishma. This is a very insincere approach to serving God and having an intimate relationship with God. V'kol ha'osek ba lo lirah v'lo l'kabel schar ala mipnei. But here's what you should do. Not from fear, not to reveal for a reward. Ela mipnei ahavat adon kol ha'aretz. But because he loves the Lord of the cosmos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the whole world, Shetziva ba, who commanded us. Harei zeh osek ba lishma. This is a climax of what he's been saying, right? Listen to his last words. V'amru chachamim. And the rabbis say, La'olam, Yasuk Adam b'Torah, Afilu shelo lishma. A person should do Torah even insincerely. Here, fear, right? Reward, maybe, right? Shemitok shelo lishma bo lishma. Because from doing Torah not for the right reasons, you'll come to do Torah for the right reasons. This is such a non sequitur. It's like somebody slipped this into the Rambam. It doesn't belong here. First he talks about the Rambam, Ava Mi'ira, for all the wrong reasons. That's not the way to go. Then he says the right way to go is Ava, and he concludes and he says, don't make a mistake. Don't go with Ava, don't go with Yira, go with Ava. Finally, let me say, in conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, right, La'olam Yasa Garam B'Torah, Shaloli, U'Torah Mitzvah, Shaloli Shema, Shalotok, Shaloli Shema, Bali Shema. You know, what's going on here? Well, what is all this all about, right? What's he saying? You know what, remind you, forgive me for this, right? I'm dating myself. There used to be, remember television? Anybody remember television? You remember there used to be the detective story Columbo?
Yeah.
You got somebody, remember? This was a guy who walked around, Peter Falk, he walked around in a trench coat, an ugly old trench coat, and he had a glass eye, and he acted like a fool, but he was really a genius. And how was every episode solved? He would finish, and they wouldn't solve it, and he'd start to walk out, and he'd turn around, and he'd say, just one more thing. I just have one more question. That's what's going on here. I mean, la'avdil elef alfei havdolos. But just one more thing, the Rambam says. Doesn't make any sense. What about halacha aleph? That you shouldn't do things mi'ira. And what about halacha beis? It's only aleph. What's he saying? What's the Rambam saying? So now, I think we're almost ready to try to get to our questions, and we'll see what this tension was, right? What this tension was. And I think the last thing I want to deal with you here is number 14, is a Medrash, Talmud Yerushalmi. And I think this is the source of the Rambam, when he says that Yira is not the way of Chachma and not the way of Nevuah. Whose way is it? We'll see in a second. I think the Rambam is referring to this Yerushalmi. Sholu l'chachma, the rabbis say. They asked chachma, a metaphor. They asked wisdom, chachamim. Chote ma'oloncho, what do you do with a sinner? Kill him. Sholu l'nevuah, they asked the Nevi'im. Prophecy. You want to say it's a morality play. They asked wisdom, they asked prophecy, or they asked the prophets, and they asked the chachamim themselves. Sholu l'nevuah, chote ma'oloncho, kill him. Because why? Because the derech of chachamim and the derech of Nevi'im is not yira, it's ava. It's all the way. You have to go all the way. Sholo l'kutcha bricho, l'kutcha bricho. They ask God, Chote, sinner. Ma, won't you? What's the punishment? How do you punish a sinner? Says God, Amalem Yasu, tshuva, v'yischaper lo. Let him do tshuva and find atonement. Hainu dichsiv, al ken yorech atoyim ba derech, yorech atoyim derech lasos tshuva. Show them the way. Tshuva is a way. It's not results. It's a path. And I think herein lies, and this you shall me, I think herein lies this is the tipping point of what we're trying to say here between God and Yonah. Kodesh Baruch Hu says that the way to tshuva is a process. It's a process. Dairy. Yonah says it's all about results. Hashem recognizes the human condition, that we're far from perfect, and we can't make that quantum leap. But Yonah is an absolutist, and he speaks in absolutes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Le'olam, Le'olam, Yasa Adam Torah Mitzvah Shelo Lishma, Shemitah Shelo Lishma Bo Lishma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, perfection, you want perfection, Yonah? Perfection is the enemy of the good. Perfection is the enemy of the good. But Yonah, he only wants tshuva mi'avah. That's the only thing he'll accept. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, I'll accept tshuva mi'ira. And that really answers all of our questions. Let me go back very briefly, very quickly, let me go back to our questions, right? There's a method, there's a Yushalmi in Pesachim that says, Yonah, Amar Rav Yonah, the fast sentence, rabbi named Yonah said, Yonah Navi Emes are you. Yonah was a Navi Emet. He was a prophet of truth. It's a very strange statement. And he gives a reason that he's a Navi Emes because God told him to go to Nineveh and he refused to go and he ran away. That's why he's a Navi Emes. First of all, aren't all prophets Navi Emes? What do you mean Yonah Navi Emes? But that's the pshat. No, Yonah was Navi Emes. Yonah was about Emes, the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. I will accept nothing less than the truth. And I'm not interested in anything less than the truth. If it's not tshuva me'ava, I'm not interested. I'm not interested. That was Yonah. And that was Yonah ben Amittai. There's nowhere else in Tanakh, by the way, that we see the name of Yonah's father. Yonah ben Amittai. Kishmo Kenu. Maybe that was his father's name, maybe it wasn't his father's name. But he was Yonah ben Amittai. Because he was about the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, that's all I want. I will take nothing less. I'm an absolutist. That's all I want. So here you have, the Abarvanel says, Yonah says, I don't want to go to Nineveh. You know why? Because, you know, it's an indictment on the Jewish people. They won't do tshuva. The Abarvanel says, who says they won't do tshuva? And they'll call me a Navi Sheker. So the Abarvanel said, well, who says you'll be a Navi Sheker? Maybe they'll do tshuva because of you. See, Yonah says, no, you don't understand, Abarvanel. You don't understand. I'll have no part of the tshuva that they're going to do in Nineveh. That's tshuva meyira. That's sheker. They'll call me a Navi Sheker. Is the pshat that I'm responsible for tshuva meyira? Tshuva meyira is sheker. I want tshuva me'ava. They'll still call me a Navi Sheker. I'll be responsible. And maybe it's not an indictment on Klal Yisrael because maybe Klal Yisrael will fall suit and do what Nineveh did. They'll do tshuva like Nineveh. That's tshuva meyira. That's sheker. That's still an indictment on Klal Yisrael. They're going to do tshuva meyira. I'm not satisfied with tshuva meyira. I don't want tshuva meyira. Sailors. The sailors did tshuva. Yonah saw the good of the sailors. That was in the eye of the storm. In the eye of the storm. Look, throughout the whole tshuva of Nineveh, what was the tshuva of Nineveh? Just to quote from the psukim, V'yaminu anshei Nineveh be'elokim. V'yikru el elokim. V'yinachem elokim. V'yar elokim et ma'aseyem. V'yinachem elokim. Who's elokim? Justice. Mishpat. Yira. Fear. I'm not impressed with their tshuva. That's tshuva meyira. I'm not interested in tshuva meyira. I'm out of here. I am history. Right now, here's the amazing thing. He argues with Hashem. Hashem goes to him and they do tshuva, they do tshuva. And he says, you're the Kael, Rachum, V'chanum, Nichem Ra, I'm out of here. How does he answer him? He tells him, you are the great God of Kael, Rachum, V'chanum, V'nichem. And I'm, what's he saying? He's throwing the Yud Gilminus back at him. He's really not. He's saying, you're Kael, Rachum, V'chanum, V'nichem Ra, but not Emes. He doesn't mention Emes from the Yud Gilminus. You're not Emes, Rabbeinu Shel Olam. You're Kael, Rachum, V'chanun, V'niche Malara, but you're not Emes. I'm out of here. Let me get out of here. I don't want anything to do with this tshuva. Rabbeinu Shel Olam, he says, listen, it's good enough for me. They put on sackcloth. They klept al chay. They'll put on a kittel. They'll wear sneakers. They'll buy a ticket. They'll do one thing right. I'll accept it. And the tour says, right, he adds a P.S. to the words of Chazal in the Gemara, in Megillah, right, that you should read Parshas Arayas ad hasof. Why ad hasof? Because that's what he said, the whole vort of the Parsha of the Arayas, the whole Kriya, is about Tshuva Me'ira. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to read about. He wants us to understand that we can do Tshuva Me'ira. He understands that we can't make that quantum leap. Do Tshuva Me'ira. Do it because you're afraid of punishment. Do it because you want to get to the Olam HaBa. Because you want all the brachas for your children and your grandchildren. You want health and happiness. Do it for all those reasons. That's what I want. That's what I want from you. Ad Hasof, Ad Sof HaParsha, says the Torah. Right? And that, by the way, is the Koach HaTshuva. Why we lay the Haftorah of Yonah is the Koach HaTshuva. It's not just a story of tshuva. It's about this majestic, this mystical, this magical Koach HaTshuva called La'olam Yasuk Adam B'Toru Mitzvot Shelo Lishma Shafil Shelo Lishma Bo Lishma. That's the Koach HaTshuva. That even if we do it insincerely, even if we do it for ulterior motives, we can come from Tshuva Yira to Tshuva Mi'ava. And that, by the way, is why Vayichal is not, definitely not what we lay. Because Vayichal is the Parsha of the Yud Gimel Midas. Emes is there. And that's not the Parsha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to lay at Mincha on Yom Kippur. We'll say it. We'll say it during Slichas. But he wants to drive home through the Kriyas HaTorah, through our Limud HaTorah, through understanding him, Kaviyochel, through his Torah, is that I don't want Emes right now. I want the Derech to Emes. And Vayichal is Emes. I don't want that. Vayichal doesn't belong here. And that's, by the way, the nexus between the Haftorah of Yonah, which is all about Tshuva Me'ira, Kodesh Baruch Hu rejects Yonah's insistence on Tshuva Me'ava, and the Kriya, Atzav HaParsha, which is about Tshuva Me'ira. Kodesh Baruch Hu accepts it, he wants it, and we come to Mincha, so here we are at Mincha, the Rabbi Shalom knows, we're coming to Mincha, and we've been through Elul, we've been through Slichas, and Rosh Hashanah, and the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, and Yom Kippur, and Shofar, and here we are, and I say to myself, I haven't made it yet. What am I going to do? I just, all these unfulfilled expectations of myself, how am I going to do it? I'm in trouble. So then, Rabbeinu Shalom says, listen, you're not in trouble yet. Talks about the Kikayon. It's a nes, it's elusive. It may come, it may go, but you have an opportunity. That strange story of encouragement for Tshuva Me'ira. Why do the rabbis add Micha? Why do the rabbis add Micha? Look at those psukim. You know why? Because Micha is rather Yonah, the end, it's very esoteric, it's very strange what's going on. It's hard to decipher what God really wants from us. But you know, again, really, I'm not a movie buff. I'm really not. But if anybody saw Casablanca 150 years ago, you might not know that they changed the ending. They changed the ending. Because if you can Google this, you can see much, you can see explanation. There was a reason why they did. It wasn't clear. They wanted to bring a message home. So I want to say, but why did Chazal add Micha? When the Gemara says, we say, we lay Yona, what do you add these psukim from Micha? Because I think it clarifies what we're saying. Look at the last psukim. Mikael Kamocha, who is God like unto thee, right? Ki chafetz chesed. Let me be clear to the Gemara. I want chesed. I want love. I want love. I am a God of chesed. Yashuv Yerachamenu Yichbosh Avonoseinu. I want to give them a chance. I want to give Klal Yisrael a chance. I want to give them chesed. I want to do chesed for them. I want them to embrace me, and I want to embrace them. The Tashli Kimitzulat Yom Kol Chatosam. Listen, I know the order here, God says. Titein Emet LiYaakov Chesed Lavram. I know that Emes is first. I know that Tshuva Me'ahava comes first. I know that. Believe what you think. I know where Baruch Hashem says, Kavi Yochel says, I know that Emes, Tshuva Me'ahava is first. And Chesed Lavram and Chesed comes second. I know that. But Ki Chafetz Chesed Hu. I know the order. I know what's ideal. I know that what perfection is. Perfection is I know this perfection is MS. That's perfection. And imperfection is chesed. I'll give them, I'll let them come any way they want. But that's what I want. That's what I want. That's why Micha's there. Because Micha clarifies for us what the whole message of Yonah is about. Yonah's mistake is that he runs away. You don't agree with the program, you run away. Yonah was an absolutist. It's all or nothing. And this is really the tragedy. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to stay, wants us, as I say, to buy a ticket, to get a seat, to do one more mitzvah, to just do something, right? Don't run away. Ivri Anochi the Abarvanel says that Yonah knew that he was fighting with God. He knew he was wrong. Ivri Anochi the Abarvanel says he couldn't help himself. Ivri Anochi Avar Yonah Anochi. Avar Yonah Anochi. Ivri, not that he was a Hebrew. Avar Yonah Anochi the Abarvanel says. I know that I'm doing the wrong thing, but I can't help myself. That's the problem. That is the problem with an absolutist. And really, I think that this whole drush is not really about Yonah being an absolutist. It's about absolutist Judaism, absolutist religion. Absolutist religion is a very, very dangerous, slippery slope. When my position is that only I have the emes, and the other guy who's not on my list, not worthy, he's not my position, he's not on my level, you know, leads us into great trouble. And I think to speak to the Rabbonim Chashuvim here from the Stadrus of Rabbonim, from the RCA, from even today, Erev Shabbos, and to today, we deal with the frustration of absolutist Judaism and how it affects and damages Klal Yisrael in so many ways, beyond the message of Noah, of Yonah. Yonah is the danger of absolutist religious experience. I have to stop defining people by what they do, define them by where they're going, what they want to achieve, and maybe their intentions are sincere. Even if their approach, whether it's at the Kotel or not at the Kotel, whether their approach is wrong, completely halachically wrong. But what do they want? What do they want? Try to understand what people want. You know, and I'm going to just conclude with this, that I want to say that one of the great Rabbonim of the 20th and 21st century passed away days ago, recently, Rav Shari Yoshev Cohen, Zichron Levracha. And when he came to Haifa, many of you knew Rav Shari Yoshev. I know that many of you had an intimate relationship with him. Came to America many times, to the United States and Canada. When he came as a young Rav to Haifa, Haifa was a hotbed of socialism, labor unions, etc. And the first thing he did as a young Rav, he insisted that we no longer refer to the non-religious as chilonim, as non-religious. He just changed the tone by referring to the non-religious community as the kilat lali. The general population. There's the general population, and then we are the dati population in the general population. It made a tremendous difference in his rabbonis, in the growth of Torah in Haifa, and it could make such a difference for us if we just address this issue, this horrible issue of absolutist Judaism, and if we approach Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur with the experience that Sefer Yonah, I believe, is teaching us, then we will all merit the increasingly audible footsteps of Mashiach Tzidkenu, and the fulfillment of the Divrei Hanavi Uvoa of the Meretz Ashur, Vanidochim, Meretz Mitzrayim, Bimheira, Biyameinu, Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.